Welcome to the Christian Life Center Sermon Podcast, where we share Sunday sermon for you to listen during your week.
So this, I wanted to start off last week. If you were here, we started a series on the book of Daniel, and so we're going to continue that today. I felt like last week the Lord, I don't know about you, but the Lord has a way of setting things up in people's lives, like preparing, putting things in place that you didn't always know or you didn't prepare for, but the Lord has a way of just kind of knowing things that we don't know. I don't know if you know that or not, but God knows things that we don't know and puts things together, and it just was impactful. But the whole premise of this series that we're going to be talking about over the next couple weeks is just simply the book of Daniel and the idea that I will get through this. And I think more than anything else in our culture today, we need to be reminded, we need to be encouraged that we will get through this. With so many voices and things coming at us, we need to be reminded that we have a God who walks beside us, who loves us, and is wanting to get us through. But sometimes it's the process, it's the journey that's more important than the destination. The destination is a given, but you never make the destination if you don't make it through the journey. And I believe the Lord wants to get us through this, you know. And some might ask, well, get you through what? And I thought about that as I was putting this sermon together, get us through what? Well, whatever your this is, that's what it is. Whatever your this is, some people, it's maybe a relationship problem, financial problems, maybe it's a sickness that you're going through, that's what you need, that's your this. Maybe it's other things that are in your life that are your this, that's keeping you from getting through or hinders you. And we go through, let's just face it, we go through a lot of this. And I wish you could display your this to the person sitting next to you right now. Because the reality is, maybe you don't know this, but the person sitting next to you, unless they're your husband and wife, because then they know everything about you. But maybe the person sitting next to you thinks you're good and you've got it all together. You're perfect. Life is great. I mean, they look at you, look at her hair. Look at those nails, right? She's got it all together, right? But the person next to you thinks you're good. They think you've got it all together, and they might think your life is on point. But then that person looks at you and thinks all these. But then you think to yourself, if they only knew my this, if they only knew what I was really going through, if they only knew that. And you know what, guys? We all have a this. We all have something that's that one thing that kind of derails us sometimes. But I believe this. And I think Daniel's a great example of this. I believe that God is going to help us get through it. God's going to help us get through it. So I told you last week that this series that I'm talking about, I believe it's going to be inspirational. I believe it's going to be applicable to your life. And I also think it's going to be educational. I remember a few years ago, I was conned. I don't know if you've ever been conned before, but I was conned. And I was at camp. I was getting ready to start camp, just like the enemy would love to do. I'm a district youth director. I'm getting ready to start camp. And I get this phone call. Like, and it said unknown number. And how many of you know when it says unknown number, that's usually the sign, don't pick it up, right? But stupid me picked up this call, and here's this guy. Man, he sounded like he had it all together. And he begins talking about something in my life that he knew. It was like, it had to do with a hospital visit that I had had. And I knew, I had done this hospital. Like, he had all this information. But then he started talking about this money that I owed. Started talking about, oh, you owe this money. And I'm like, man, this is really confusing. And he says, but if you just give me the credit card right now, just give me the money now, and it'll all be forgotten. And I'm like, okay, oh, all right. I mean, because they always use things like, we're going to get the lawyers involved. And all these times, and I'm like, oh, my gosh. I'm like freaking out. I'm like, so I'm ready to give this guy money. But before, there was something in me. Luckily, I said, you know what? Let me call our district lawyer. Just ask him personally, you know? And he says, I think this is a con. And so I go back and I try to call the number, and I'm getting like a Google phone call. But the reality is this, it was a con. But I'm ready to give this guy my credit card because he played on my emotion. He had me believing, right? And I should have known better because my dad taught me two things. Number one, he was in law enforcement, and he always said, if it's too good to be true, it's probably not true. And then the second thing, you know, I should have known was a con because it had the telltale signs of a con. You know what a con is? A telltale sign of a con is this: when it makes promises first and cost after. When it makes promises first and cost after. Anytime someone makes a promise first and saves the cost to the end, it's a con. By the way, that's how the devil works, right? He makes promises first, and then the cost comes after. That's how it worked. That's how he got Adam and Eve, right? Eat this fruit, you know. You'll have the knowledge of good and evil. You'll get all these things. You'll be like God. You'll have this. And he makes all this promise, but how many of you know after they took the fruit, the cost came later? The tombstones came later. FYI, how many of you know God is the opposite? God always gives us the cost up front. Then he gives you the promise. Gives you the cost and your promise. That's why he says, count the cost if you want to follow me. Why? Because God wants to know it before you get into it. He wants you to know what you're getting into. The devil wants to get us into it before, and then before you know it, right, your life is falling apart because you bought into the con. Your peace is gone. Your faith is gone. You're bitter, all because you gave in to the cost. And so this morning, Daniel chapter 2, I've simply said, we're going to get through this. But this is called, I like to call this the great con. The great con. Why on this topic? Why do I want to talk about Daniel? Why does it demonstrate to us the great con? Because I believe this. Whenever someone asks me, Pastor Heath, how do I get through it? I get that all the time. How do I get through it? Looking for advice. I feel like they're asking me for a list of things to start doing. You know, Pastor, can you give me some list of things? What can I do to get through this? How can I see it through my season? But what I've found is this, that if you want to get through it, right, if you want to get, it's a combination of two things. It's a combination of a list of things to start doing, but it's also a list of things to stop falling for. There's a list of things to start doing, but a list of things to stop falling for. There are some cons that have been running in our lives, right, that have been taking us over and consuming us, and we believe them and we follow them. And listen, this might not seem like the most encouraging message, and some of you are probably like, man, why did I get up this early and come to church today to hear this? It may be one of those, you know, ones where you're apologizing if you brought a friend to church today. You said, oh, I'm just kidding. But I just want to be real with us as a church. I want you and I want us to do good things, but also refrain from the things that are hurting you, the things in your life that you know are not serving you well. The cons, the tricks, the lies that we give into over and over and over again. Daniel's a great example of someone who didn't fall for the con. Because you got to understand, remember, if we go back to last week, here's Daniel. He has three friends, right, that have been exiled to Babylon. Just a little backstory again. They grew up in Jerusalem. The Babylonians have taken over Jerusalem, and they didn't just leave the people there. They took them out of Jerusalem to Babylon. Not just these Daniel and his three friends, but thousands among thousands of Israelites are taken from their home to live in Babylon. And they're having to get through it. They're having to endure this new life that they have. But while they're getting through it, get me, the enemy is trying to con them. While they're trying to get through it, he's trying to trap them. He's trying to steal things from them. And we see this in Daniel chapter 1, right? This is what it says. Remember, this is the year 605 BC. Daniel chapter 1, verse 6 and 7 says, Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, Azariah were four young men, chosen all from the tribe of Judah. The chief of staff renamed them with these Babylonian names. Daniel was now called Belteshazzar. Hananiah was called Shadrach. Mishael was called Meshach. Azariah was called Abednego. Now, you need to understand that these changes of names were not just superficial. They didn't just go, oh, let's just give them these names. So in order to understand that, you have to understand what the Hebrew for these names meant. So if you put these names on the screen, you'll see this here in just a moment. You have Daniel, you have Hannah, Mishael, Azariah. You have to understand what these names actually meant, right? Let's play a word game today. Can you see the pattern? The names that end with L, and then the other names that end with ah. The names at the end are significant to these Israelite kids. The names at the end, like L, are in reference to Elohim. Maybe you've heard the word El Shaddai before. Elohim literally means God. The ah at the end of the other two names is short for Yahweh, which in the Hebrew stands for Lord. So anytime you see El, it's God. And anytime you see Ah, it's Yahweh, the Lord. And now we see these four young men, right, who have God in their name. And this is significant. We have to understand that because as long as God is part of who you are, hear me this morning, you will always get through. As long as God is a part of you, you will always get through. It was a reminder to these guys that in the midst of their identity, that God was a part of them. God was a part of them. And we have, what have you set in your lives? What have we set in our lives to remind us that God is part of us? Because the idea is people, circumstances can try to change you, but you can't change God. People will try, circumstances will try, but you can't change God. The Bible says that his mercies are new every morning, that his love is the same every day, that neither height nor death, nor life nor death, nor angels or demons can separate us from the love of God. We ought to be thankful for that this morning. We ought to be thankful for that, that no matter what you do, no matter what we say, no matter what we do, that doesn't change God. He will never leave you. He will never forsake you. But how many know this, that it's the devil that wants to change. He knows that he can't change God. The devil can't change God, so his whole strategy is, I'm going to try to change you. I can't change God, but I can change you. The name change was an attempt to try and change their relationship with God. It's significant. It's important without changing God. I can't change God, but I can change their relationship with God. It's God. Is God always going to love them? He's going to always love us. He's going to always love them. Then maybe I can change whether or not you love God. That's the strategy. If God is always going to believe in you, then maybe I can change whether or not you always believe in God. So this is the strategy of the name change. Because look at what he does. It'll be on the screen here. He takes their names and he changes them to Belteshazzar, Hananiah to Shadrach, Mishael to Meshach, Azariah to Abednego. This is significant to understand. He changes to Babylonian names. And there's a con in these Babylonian names. The con, obviously, is that they're Babylonian. Some of you might say, well, hey, maybe they just changed their name because it's easier to say the other names, right? Maybe they just said, hey, we're going to change the name because that's what we like to do in society, right? We like to Englishize our words, names. Like if we can't say Juan, we say Joan, you know, or something. This is not what's happening here. It's not just Babylonian people trying to figure out an easier way to say their names. There is a con in the midst of these name changes. I want to make you Babylonian, because if you become Babylonian, if you do it our way, if you change who you are, then all that stuff that worked for you in Jerusalem, it's not going to work here. So we're going to try to adapt you. We're going to get you to adapt. We're going to get you to compromise. Then you'll find success, but the success will come at a cost, because there's always a cost to the con. What's the cost to the con? Well, here's the deal. Look at the screen. Gone is El. Gone is Ah. Gone is El. Gone is Ah. They totally removed it from their lives, right? God was stripped from their name and is being replaced with Bel, Ak, Ak, and Nego. You got to understand something. The Babylonians were not monotheists. In other words, they didn't worship just one god. They were polytheists. They had a pantheon of gods that they worshiped. And the names you see on the side of the names of those gods are hidden in the names of these new Israelite children. Bel is actually the head of the pantheon god. Ak is actually short for Aku, which was one of their gods. Nego is actually short for Nebo, which is also another one of their gods. So you can see this transition in happening. Hear me, the change was very, very subtle. You may say, well, that doesn't seem very subtle to me. I mean, their names, I mean, look to the right, to the left. They don't look very subtle. I mean, if somebody walked up to me and said, my name is Heath, but if somebody called me Paul, I would know there's difference, right? It might not seem very subtle, but it's only different because you and I are reading it in English. If you were to read it in Hebrew, it would be very, very similar. In fact, Daniel's actual name means God is my judge. What does a judge do? He protects you. Guess what Belteshazzar means? Bel is my protector. In the Hebrew, the meaning is very similar. Hananiah means the Lord is mercy When do you need mercy? When things are going bad. Aku, how many of you know, you might not know this, but Aku was the god of the moon god who protects you at night when things are going bad. And the same meaning, just very different, not very different. Mishael means who is like God, right? Mishael means who is like God. Meshach sounds similar. It means who is like Aku. It means who is like Aku. And Azariah means God helps me, the Lord helps me. Abednego is I help Nebo. They're very similar. Why am I saying this? Because when the world tries to change you, it never changes us drastically. When the enemy wants to come in and change you and take hold of our minds and our lives and our thoughts, it never happens really quick and drastic. It's always subtle. It tries to change us little by little until one day you don't even recognize who you are anymore. You used to be Daniel, but after years of compromise and changes, all of a sudden Daniel is Belteshazzar. Many times we don't even know what's happening because it's subtle. And sometimes we wonder, you know, you see people around you and friends or even our own church, and you're like, how did we get to this place? How did they walk away from their faith? They used to be so involved. They used to be up front. They used to do all these things. What happened? How did it all change for them? In fact, I wrote it this way. It'll be on the screen. I wrote it this. I said this: sudden big changes that happen overnight are usually the result of subtle little choices that happen over time. Little things that we do over time. And we can keep that on the screen so you can take a picture, write it down, get a tattoo. Little changes that we do over time. High blood pressure doesn't happen overnight, right? It happens from years of eating bad food and not taking care of yourself. Many things that affect faith don't happen overnight. You don't just stop believing in God overnight. One Sunday you wake up and you say, you know what, I'm just too tired to go to church. One day you wake up and you say, I really need to pause and pray, and then yet the busyness of the day sends to take over. You say, oh, I really need to spend some time just worshiping the Lord, and then the next thing you know, a phone call comes or a bill needs to be paid, and it's all gone away. It's the little changes over time that come for us. Can I encourage you this morning? Don't fall for it. It's a con. I'm grateful that Daniel did not fall for it. The moment that Daniel got to Babylon, the con was on. The minute they walked into Babylon, the con was on to change their lives. The first way Nebuchadnezzar does this, and we see this, is that he tells them, I'm going to send you all these wise men. And these wise men, they're going to educate you, and they're going to teach you, right? Which is so funny to me when I think about that, because that Nebuchadnezzar tried to disguise slavery with scholarship. Try to disguise slavery with scholarship, because it's always the promise first, right? And the cost after. Then he comes with food, which is a problem. And you might ask yourself, why is it a problem? Because the Bible and Daniel are very clear that it says the food was or is contaminated. And we don't exactly know why that means. We don't, why was it contaminated? But most likely it meant one or two things. It meant either one, that the food might not have been kosher, which the Jewish people, you know, reformed from eating certain types of food, pork, different dairies or whatnot. Or number two, maybe the food had been sacrificed to idols. But in any case, the Bible says that the food is contaminated. And Daniel's there. If you could just put yourself in his role for a minute, he's there. He's been exiled. His whole world has been taken from him. And now he's brought into this king's room with this prepared food, all food you could imagine. Imagine his mouth is probably salivating, wanting to eat this prepared food. I mean, imagine it looked amazing. And he's looking at this table, right? He's looking at this table, prepared food, probably the same way that you and I would look at bread when we're on a low-carb diet, right? And just like, oh, man, I love just, maybe you've been there. If you've been on a low-carb diet, you know what I'm talking about. You look at that piece of bread, and you're like, oh. And then you start to think, well, it's just one piece of bread. If I just eat that one today, it won't affect my whole diet. Just that one little piece, if I just eat it, it'll be okay. Oh, wait, I got an idea. I know, what if I toast it and burn the carbs out? That's what we think about. How many know this morning? It's a con. Daniel has to look at it and he has to make a decision. Am I going to give in to this little thing and allow the little thing to contaminate my walk with God? What am I going to do? What's my decision? Or do I say no? Look what Daniel says. Daniel chapter 1, verse 8. But Daniel was determined not to contaminate himself. He was determined not to contaminate himself by eating the food and wine given to them by the king. Listen, he said, I'm not going to let it in. I'm not going to let it in my life. I'm not going to let it happen. Let me talk to you this morning about holiness. And I know some of you, I just said that word and you like triggered, you know, like, ooh, holiness, right? Just depending on your upbringing in church or what related experience you had, when you hear the word holiness, it's a lot of times it brings back these memories to our lives. Memories of like, you know, old school, new school, memories of like what you couldn't wear, what you couldn't say, what you couldn't do, your haircut, you know, what kind of dress was you wearing, what kind of, how did your hair look, how did your makeup look? All these things come back to us when we think of holiness. Can I tell you this morning, holiness is not about the way you look. No, holiness is not about the way you look. Let me reframe holiness for you today. Holiness is a way of getting through. It's a way of getting through. I'm going to prove it to you. I'm going to show you something on the screen. This is a picture of a baseball card. This picture of this baseball card, this is a 1909 Hornace Wagner baseball card. Now, this is significant because just last week, this card sold for $7.25 million. $7.25 million. No sports card has ever sold for more. Very expensive. And the reason why it's expensive, by the way, it's not because of the face on the card, because nobody knows who Hornace Wagner is. It's expensive because it's the oldest baseball card in the best condition, 1909. The person that sold it said this about it, right? And I put it on the screen because I thought it was a great sell. This is what the person who sold it said. He said this, the Wagner stands out because of its condition. It stands out because of its condition. Listen to me, this card went through World War I. This card went through World War II. This card went through Vietnam. This card went through the Great Depression, right? I'm thinking about it when I'm looking at this. And I can't even keep a new t-shirt clean for 2 weeks. And this thing was preserved for 113 years. You know why? Because someone looked at it in 1909 and they said, this card is not normal, it's holy. You know what holy means? Holy means set apart, so I guard it. Now, I need you this morning to replace Hornace Wagner's face with your heart. Your heart is holy. Can I encourage you? Guard it. It's valuable. Protect it. Your mind is valuable. Protect it. And as you keep it holy, and as you guard your life, and as you guard your mind, and as you guard your heart, hear me this morning, its value will grow over time. Now, I want you to think about this card for a minute. You can put it back on the screen if you want. Now, there's this guy named Fred McKee. Fred McKee was the owner of the card in 1970, Fred McKee owned this card. Guess how much he paid for it in 1973? $1,001 in 1973. When he sold it, he made bank because he sold it in 1976. And guess how much he sold it for in 1976? $2,500. He's rich. Fred McKee is alive today. He's still alive. Fred McKee saw that card sell this week for $7.25 million. He had to think in that moment, I've been conned. I've been conned. If only I would have held on to it. If only I would have protected it and kept it. When he sold it, though, in 1976, guess what? I mean, he doubled his money, right? At that moment, he didn't think he was being conned. At that moment, he thought, he's making a good deal. I'm making 100% on my investment. He didn't know what he had was more valuable if he would have just held on to it. if he just would have protected it. Listen, I want to tell us this morning as a church, your calling is more valuable than anything the enemy can offer you. Your faith is more valuable than anything the enemy can offer you. Your relationship with God is more valuable than anything that the enemy can offer you. Don't sell out. Don't make the trade. Hold on to your faith. Hold on to your heart. Guard it. Protect it. Be holy. This morning, real quick, I want to give you four cons to avoid that I think Daniel demonstrates to us. Number one, and they'll be very quick, but number one is this. We need to avoid contaminating consumption. Contaminating consumption. Not food like Daniel. I mean, food is good to eat. The New Testament gave us that freedom. Food is good to eat. But what content do we as a church, or you as a person, do you consume? What do you listen to? What do you watch? What do you allow to infiltrate your heart? What do you allow to infiltrate your mind? You ever notice that we consume things that don't make us feel good? I don't know about you. Like, you ever go home at night and put your head on the pillow and just say, man, I shouldn't have done this, that, or that today. I don't feel good. That didn't make me feel good. So let me encourage you, do the things you consume, do they glorify God and make you feel good inside? Because that's a great barometer right there. The con is it tastes good. So if it tastes good, but I don't care what it does to me because it really tastes good. So can I give you this on the screen? Here's the con this morning. It tastes good. That's the con. Here's the truth. Not everything that tastes good is good for you. Not everything that tastes good is good for you. We have to stop letting everything in that tastes good and ask the better question, is this good for me? Number two, I'd encourage you with this. Avoid contaminating conversations. Careful who you talk to and who's talking to you. Let me say that again. Be careful who you're talking to and who's talking to you. I love Leviticus 24, 13 through 14 to be on the screen. It says, then the Lord said to Moses, take the blasphemer outside the camp and tell those who heard the curse to lay their hands on his head. Right? Now, I debated whether to leave this last sentence in here because I thought about this last verse because I was worried it would make God look like a monster, right? But I thought I would just preach to you the whole Bible and explain it to you. And this is what it says, then let the entire community stone him to death, right? So if you need a church, you're looking for a church, and you come here and you say, hey, we stone you to death, it's probably not where you want to be. But let me ask you this, someone, what does it mean to blaspheme? It means to curse God. And as drastic as this might seem, you know, you think going out and stoning someone because they curse God, that seems pretty drastic. It would help if you knew some of the other laws of the day. In fact, back in the Old Testament law, if you stole money from someone, that was a capital punishment. In other words, you could take $5 from somebody and you'd be stoned. It was a capital punishment. The other capital offense was not just cursing God. Get this. The other capital offense was cursing your mom or dad. Because the two most important things in the Bible, according to the Lord, is crimes against God and crimes against family. Because the two most important things in life is God and family. So in the Bible, you could get stoned if you cursed at your dad. Which as a dad, I vote we bring that back. Right? Like, let me... You raise your voice to me. Like, what'd you say? Like, oh, no, dad, no, you know? I'm just kidding. Don't abuse your children. But what's significant in this verse is not the stoning or the blaspheming. Can I tell you what the most significant part of this verse is? Is this, when he said to him, tell all those who heard to lay their hands on his head. Why is that significant? Because the laying on the hands in the Bible is a transferring. And in the Old Testament, what they would do is they would take the scapegoat, right? And they would have all the people would lay their hands on the goat as they led it out into the wilderness. And it was a symbolization as they laid their hand, they transferred their sins onto the scapegoat, and the scapegoat would take away your sins. Here's what the Bible's inferring here. That the one is speaking the blasphemy is guilty, right? Because he spoke blasphemy. But the ones who heard it are guilty for hearing it. Ouch. The ones who heard it are just as guilty as the ones who said it. Can I say it another way to you this morning? What other people say affects you. What other people say affects you. Be careful with what's in your heart, because sometimes anger gets into your heart. Sometimes bitterness has a way of getting into your heart. Sometimes frustration has a way of getting into your heart. And so let me ask you this morning, it'll be on the screen, the simple question: what's in your heart? What's in your heart? Because hear me this morning, it'll go with the screen, but what's in your heart many times is determined by what you hear. Look how close they are. What's in your heart is determined by what you hear. What you hear gets in your heart. Can I encourage you this morning, don't let someone else's gossip become your grievance. You ever had somebody mad at you? You ever been mad at someone who never did anything wrong to you? Kind of funny. Don't let someone else's gossip become your grievance. Here's the most important one. Don't let someone's disbelief become your doubt. Don't let someone's disbelief become your doubt. Here's the con this morning. It'll be on the screen. Here's the con. We think, well, their words matter. The people that are talking to us, their words matter. But how many know that's the con? Because here's the truth. God's words matter more. God's word matters more. Number three, avoid contaminating connections. In other words, be careful with who you're around. 1 Corinthians 15:33, you get familiar scripture, but it just says this: do not be fooled. Bad company corrupts good character. Listen, the one thing COVID taught us more than anything else, because you were all experiencing it as well, when your grandkids had to wave to you through a window, or you had to have a drive-by birthday party. What COVID taught us is that we have these two words called infection and influence. And I want to encourage you this morning, be careful, because what's in someone else can get in you. We learned that really quick. You know you can catch someone's negativity? Did you know that you can catch someone's bad attitude? Did you know that you can catch someone's criticalness? You can catch someone's hate. You can catch someone's perspective. You can catch someone's disbelief. Be careful you don't catch what someone else has got. Can I encourage you with that today? Here's the con. They need me. We have this con, well, they need me. I mean, I have to be next to them. They need me. Here's the truth. They need Jesus. They need Jesus. The fourth and last one is this. Avoid contaminating conduct. Haggai chapter 2, verse 11 starts this way, and it says, ask the priest this question about the law. If one of you is carrying some meat from a holy sacrifice in his robes, and his robe happens to brush against some bread or stew, wine or olive oil, or any other kind of food, will it also become holy? The priest replied, no. So let me just give you some quick background. The meat that was sacrificed to God was holy. And if you put that meat in your coat, all of a sudden your coat becomes holy as well. But if a coat touched somebody that didn't make them holy, just because the coat touched somebody, it didn't make them holy as well. So in other words, what the scripture is reminding us, that holiness is not contagious. In other words, your mom could be going to church her whole life, but that has nothing to do with your relationship with God. Holiness is not contagious. But look what it does happen. Verse 13, then Haggai asked, if someone becomes ceremonially unclean by touching a dead person and then touches any of these foods, will the food be defiled? And the priest answered, yes. Then Haggai responded, that is how it is with this people and this nation, says the Lord. Everything they do and everything they offer is defiled by their sin. Here's what the author is saying to us this morning. Not that sin will spread from person to person. It's not contagious like that. What the author is saying is that in a person's life, sin will spread from one area of your life to another area of your life. I have to explain sin this morning, because I understand that all of us in this room come from a different spectrum, a different belief system, or you have different religious experience, and so sin has different things for you. And I think it's funny, because those who didn't grow up in church, your definition of sin is bad. Right? Sin is anything that's bad. That's sin, right? But people who grew up in church, our definition of sin is anything that is fun. If we grew up in church, if I like it, then it's sin, right? If it's fun, you know, if it's fun, it's got to be sin, which obviously is not true. Sin is either bad or sin is either fun to some people. But hear me this morning. Both of those definitions fall short. You know what sin is? Sin is this: anything that is not good for you. Anything that's not good for you. Why? Because the definition of sin literally means missing the mark. Missing the mark. If I was to put gas in my engine, not my gas tank, if I put gas in my engine and put oil in my gas tank, how many of you would say, Pastor Heath, you missed it? You missed the mark. Now, and now, even though I only put one thing in the wrong place, just one thing in the wrong place, the whole car is shot. The whole car is done. Every area of that car is now broken because of one simple mistake. Sin can be just one thing that affects your life. It can be just one thing that affects your life. As you guys know, I love illustrations. And I thought the best way to illustrate that is this way this morning. It's almost like this morning, this glass represents our sin. This glass represents our whole lives. It represents everything about us, right? And if we take and we rolled up our whole lives in this, like this, and this represents sin. All it took was one. One thing shatters it. One thing destroys it. And then next thing you know, our whole lives are in pieces. Everything's in pieces. It just breaks up. How am I ever going to be successful? How am I ever going to do these things? Our whole lives are broken. They're broken. And when we look at these pieces, we see hopelessness. How can anything ever come back together again? How could my life ever be what it is? Because most of the time, again, we think, well, it's just one thing. But how many of the one thing has the potential to shatter your whole life? In fact, here's the con this morning. It's just blank. This is the con. Well, it's just blank. But can I give you the truth? It's not just blank. That one thing that contaminates you has the ability to change everything in your life. When I look at broken pieces and I look at this, representation of my life, and I look at this representation of your life, I sit there and I look at it and I look at all the pieces, and all I can think is, man, this is hopeless. This represents hopelessness, because there's no way that these pieces can ever come back together again. There's no way. When we look at life, there's no way these pieces, it's impossible for them to come back together unless Jesus. Unless Jesus, right? Because Jesus, how many know, he just has a way. I don't even begin to try to know how he does it, but he has a way, right? Of taking the broken pieces, right? Of taking our marriages and our kids and our failures and our contaminated lives, and he just has this way of taking all these broken pieces and putting them back together again, right? Things that were impossible to do. He has this amazing way of putting them all back together again. I don't know how he does it. I have no clue, but he has this way of just taking the pieces, taking all those pieces and putting it back together again. Making it whole. I know what some of you are saying, thinking, witchcraft. How do you do that? Here's the reality. I don't know how Jesus did it. I don't know how he restored my life. I don't know how he called me. I don't know how he took, some of you have the same story. You're sitting out there today, and how did he take my broken pieces and put them all back together again? How did he take something that nothing and make it something, right? How did he do that, right? How can he do that? How can he put all of my life back together when I was all broken in pieces? Can I tell you something this morning? It's not witchcraft. It's not even magic. I thought I would come into church today and I would tell you, I prayed over it and it just magically happened. But that wouldn't be nice. This is science. It's just simply science. I don't know how it works, but what I do know that it doesn't work. Hear me this morning. This science doesn't work if it's halfway. Because when it's halfway, you can see it, right? It doesn't work when it's halfway. It only works when it's all the way in. It doesn't work halfway. It only works when you're all the way in and completely, completely filled with God. Listen, we can't afford halfway worship. We can't afford halfway prayers. We can't afford halfway Bible reading. We can't afford halfway worship, halfway following God, halfway serving. It doesn't work unless you're all the way in. Because how many of you know when you're all the way in, there's no longer you, but it's just about God. There's no more visibility of Heath. There's no more it's about me. There's no more you see me. It's only about God. In fact, what I love about this illustration is that you're like, what's the liquid? You know what the liquid is? It's oil. It's just oil. In fact, then I thought about it. I think about the example of the Holy Spirit throughout the New Testament and Old Testament. What was it? Oil. The Holy Spirit has a way of coming into our lives, consuming us, taking us over, allowing the oil of the Holy Spirit, the anointing of God, to put us back together again, put all the pieces back together, strengthen us, and give us a whole new purpose and a whole new life. Can I encourage you this morning? Let's don't be a halfway faith people. Let's go all the way in and erase all of us. I mean, I'm thinking of Daniel standing before this king. I mean, it was a matter of his life. The three friends thrown into the furnace, it's a matter of life. If they would have been halfway in, they would have been contaminated. But they said, you know what? You can change our name. You can take my identity. You can throw me in a whole nother place, but I will not bow down to your God. I will not give in. I will not be contaminated. I'm going to follow God in all that I do, completely and completely filled. Can we start letting all of God penetrate your life, all of God penetrate our church? I have this last word on the screen for us this morning. It's called reconciliation. That's how God puts us back together. He reconciles us. You know what reconciliation means? It's when your relationship with God gets set right as a result of everything else getting set right. Reconciliation is your relationship with God gets set right because you've taken everything else in your life and you set it right. You've made a choice to say, God, I don't want to be halfway. I want to go all in with you. Father, this morning we worship you and we thank you in this place and in this room that we have the ability and the opportunity to be all in with you. If there's anyone in here who even has a half foot in, half foot out, I pray, God, that they would, that we would be encouraged, that we would be convicted today to say, God, I wanna go all in with you. I've been living that halfway. Lord, don't allow the contaminating things of the enemy to come in and take our lives little by little by little. Don't let us fall for the con that says, oh, you know what? It's just a little piece. It's just little things. But can we be people today that are aware, Lord, that we have a grasp on the idea that, God, we can't allow the little things to contaminate the big things you want to do in our church and the big things you want to do in our lives, the big things you want to do in our families, in our ministries, because, Lord, because we said we will not be contaminated. We will go all in and we'll be consumed this morning by the Holy Spirit and by the goodness of God. I pray, God, that you let us be aware of sin and that daily, God, we can come before you and confess that, God, we need you, that we need your forgiveness, that we need your blood to come and sanctify us and purify us each and every day so that we're not always a perfect people, but we are a people striving for the goodness and the greatness of God. I pray you help us with that today. In Jesus' name. Would you stand with me this morning? I'm going to ask Pastor Britton just to lead us in one chorus. then I want to pray a prayer of blessing over you before you go.
Everlasting, your light will shine when all else fades, never ending. Your glory goes beyond all fame, and the cry of my heart is to bring you praise from the inside out, Lord. My soul cries out, everlasting, your light will shine when all else fades, never ending. Your glory goes beyond all fame, and the cry of my heart is to bring you praise from the inside out, Lord. My soul cries out, Lord.
Lord, our soul cries out for you today. From the inside out, God, may you purify us and clean us. Lord, I pray blessings upon your people. Lord, may this be a group of people that strive to be holy. That strive, Lord Father, not to allow the contamination to fill our hearts and minds, but to protect our hearts because they are valuable. To protect our mind because it is valuable. To protect our faith because our faith is valuable. Lord, to protect our relationship with you, because it is so valuable. We thank you for that. I pray your face would shine upon each and every one of us, those that are dealing emotionally with things, those who are dealing physically with things today. May you be the glory and the lifter of their heads. May you be the one that gets us through it in the midst of everything around us. We thank you for it. We honor you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Before you leave this morning, two things. Obviously, you want to grab a snow cone for me, but can I encourage you, in this service today, let's take this week throughout the day, find a day, let's pray for every student that's going back to school over this next week or two, right? How about we come together and we war for our next generation together? So I just encourage you, make that a prayer point for your life. Let's pray for every student that's heading back to school, maybe every teacher that works in here, and it's a war zone, spiritual war zone. And we wanna pray for them, amen? Amen, God bless you. Thank you for being with us this morning.
Thanks for listening to the Christian Life Center Sermon Podcast. To learn more about our church and the ministries we offer, visit our website at missoulachurch.com. Have a great week!